coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who wants to know, who wants to get paddled. It's Rob Sestrinino. Hello, everybody. Look, I'm paddling against you. I have an index card. Look at me. Look at me. I'm paddling. I'm beating everybody in ping pong.
Yeah, I can beat you.
I'm the champion. Nicole, how the hell are you?
I'm fantastic.
Oh, let me try that again. Nicole, how the hell are you?
I'm fantastic.
You're well.
I'm well.
Doing good. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us here live on a Tuesday morning. It's October 2nd, 12 p.m. noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. here on the West Coast. Big show today. We got a jam-packed show. We're going to try to fit it all in 1 hour for you. We're going to start off this morning talking about the big recap of the Double Your Money Amazing Race, Nicole.
Yes, that's amazing.
That is amazing. And the Amazing Race has managed to double the money. And unlike The Bachelor and Bachelor Pad and The Celebrity Apprentice, they have managed to not double the time.
Thank you.
Yes. I love my reality TV, but let's try to keep it to 1 hour, people.
Yeah. And we were watching the show. I said that I thought it was a bit ridiculous how they were doubling the money because I didn't think it would happen. But you said that actually the first team that wins is usually the winner in the end.
A lot of times that does happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we're going to recap the first the premiere episode of the new Amazing Race. And I see Eric Beltzer wants to talk about the Jets. We are not going to talk about the Jets.
We're not going to talk about that.
We're
right
not going to talk about that. We're going to hear him talk about also, we're going to preview Survivor from Wednesday. We've got episode 3 of Survivor Philippines coming up. We're going to check in with our embedded rap porters for each of the tribes and talk about what they've seen, what they're noticing, what they've checked out on the secret scenes, and sort of preview what's to come on Survivor. And then we're also scheduled to hear from a very
special
big guest, very special guest, star of film and television.
Mm-hmm.
You know him best from his work on Friday Night Lights. He's also done The Good Wife and a ton of other things.
Oh.
Mr. Scott Porter from Friday Night Lights.
Wowzer.
He's going to join us. He's actually in the Rob is a Podcast 20 Team League, and we'll probably talk to him around 12:45 or so.
Fantastic.
So, and taking your questions along the way, Jessica Frey is with us as per usual, producing the hell out of this show.
Yes.
Way to go, Jessica Frey. And then we're going to talk about some amazing race and jump right into it. And, of course, at any time, you know, your mind is drifting, thinking about something that you might need to pick up.
Focus.
Don't hesitate to check out the Amazon.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Treat yourself to something nice. And don't forget, Halloween's around the corner. Amazon's got a ton of great Halloween costumes and candy.
And candy. They do have a lot of good candy.
And they do have a lot of good candy. Yep. Okay.
With free shipping. If you spend $25.
Free shipping, you spend $25. Oh, my God.
Get it together. What are you doing?
Nicole, hold on. I'm realizing that there's wires that aren't plugged in on this podcast. Hold on. We're not going at full capacity
here.
Is
that why they can't hear me?
No, they can hear you.
Oh.
They can hear you. It has more to do with the recording of the show for the people listening in the audio later.
Uh-oh.
Which you can always do at robhasawebsite.com. And be sure to be subscribed on the iTunes because you get all the audio of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure if you haven't downloaded the podcast app on your iPhone, it's in the App Store. Make sure you have it so you can always be up to date with Rob Has a Website and Rob Has a Podcast.
Yes.
So let's talk about it, Nicole. It's we have week number one of the Amazing Race. I don't even know what number Amazing Race this is. But it's very high up there. I don't think they've passed Survivor yet.
Not yet.
It's Amazing Race 21, and we are looking at Survivor 25.
Survivor 25.
So Survivor is still
they're catching up.
Still has the advantage. And so Nicole, yes, we mentioned it. The big twist was double your money. Double your money. So as we saw last year, the team that came in first place, Dave and Rachel. They won the first leg of the race. They won a lot of legs of the race.
They won almost every leg of the race.
And they're sitting at home. They're saying, "Why wasn't it us?
Yeah.
Why wasn't it us?"
And you know they're fighting over it.
They're definitely fighting over it. So we're gonna see, and we're also gonna try to bring you some. We're gonna do reports We have an amazing race blogger this season.
Oh, fantastic!
We're gonna speak with her along the way.
We're
also going to try to get a few amazing race contestants to join us here on the web show. So, if you know any amazing race contestants, or if you are an amazing race contestant watching us here, drop me a line. We'd love to hear what you think about the current season.
Or you just harass them on Twitter until they come on the show.
Yes.
That always works.
All of those things work here in the land of Rob Has a Podcast. So, we have a lot to cover here. Where do you want to start? I mean, I don't want to just recap the episode, but
Well, who's your favorite team?
Okay, well, let's talk about the teams a little bit as we go along. Let's do some of those standout teams. And as you see, Jessica Frey, we have decided to get on board here with our CBS parent. CBS does a lot of these shows that we watch. So, like CBS, we have decided that we are going to give you hashtags during the show, like hashtag double your money, mm-hmm. hashtag Survivor Breakdown. So Jessica Frey, she'll be putting those up on the screen as we go along here on our live shows. So as you see, hashtag RHAP supports TAR.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you have a suggestion for a hashtag, let Jessica Frey know it in the chat room. And we have our Amazing Race rapporteur ready to go. She's an Amazing Race expert. Let's try to bring in Jessica Lease. She's also going to be writing a blog for us this season on the Amazing Race as we try to be the worldwide leader in reality.
We bring you from every direction.
From every angle, we're going to cover all of these shows. So if Jessica is up and ready to go, let's bring her in. And if not, Nicole and I will just go through the teams. Nicole, do you have a favorite team? Okay.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Here's Jessica. And Jessica.
Can you guys hear me at all?
Yes, yeah. We can. We can hear you.
Okay, great.
Yes, very well. So how are you doing?
I'm good. I made it in.
All right, well, yes, you
did.
How
are you, Rob?
Yeah, well, we're doing very well. Jessica, let me introduce you to everybody. Jessica is going to be blogging about the Amazing Race for us this season and checking in from time to time here on the Rob is a Web show. And also, you are an avid, not only Amazing Race fan, but also a visitor of the TarCon Amazing Race convention.
Oh,
7-time veteran, yeah.
7-time veteran, wow. Okay, so Jessica,
it's a party with an open bar. What is there what's not to love?
Oh,
I have been to a TarCon.
I want to go now.
Yeah, I have been there.
Come.
Well, and if people don't know what the TarCon is, do you want to explain what that is a bit?
The TarCon is, it was an event founded by Amazing Race fans for Amazing Race fans, and it's a big party. They get a bar in Manhattan, and they invite all of the racers to come, and all the racers that are in town usually show up. And it's a great time. We drink for 2 hours, we watch the finale, and then everybody that's around shows up, and you get to meet them.
Yeah.
It's an incredible time.
See,
I recommend that all of the...
Yeah, I used to feel
only
good.
Rob has a... podcast listeners should come.
Yes, ooh, definitely.
That'll be a party.
Well, I used to feel like, they didn't have a finale for The Amazing Race. I think that's where it came out of.
Well, they get the show.
They didn't have a finale. They didn't have a reunion.
Yeah.
So they all just get to come out and clap at the end. That's basically the reunion of Amazing Race.
Uh-huh.
So I used to, as a survivor, I used to feel good. And so you used to say, oh, well, look at us. We're that CBS, they love us more. They have a party for us.
Yes.
But now, look at us now in 2012. We have no party. Mm-hmm. We have to throw a party ourselves, and it's not as good as the TarCon because they've been practicing this for 21 seasons.
And they know what they're doing.
And the best thing ever was that CBS actually got jealous of TarCon at one point and threw their own party for the racers to spite us.
Oh, no. All right. Well, you never want to...
Yeah.
Don't piss them off.
Yeah, don't spit in the wind. Don't fight with CBS.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these teams, Jessica. Now, Nicole and I were talking about our favorite teams. I think Nicole and I are on the same page here. And I believe, Nicole, if I may speak for you, our favorite team is going to be Gary and Will this season. Is this the...
Which one's Gary and Will?
Well, you got to love the super fans.
Okay.
I knew you would, Rob, because you came from that same tradition yourself.
I did come from that tradition. And for Nicole's sake, she's not going to know that... Nicole has already
said... I don't know
their
names.
She's not going to learn the names of any of the racers this season. So We have to refer to them by
their team
nicknames.
Nobody bothers. It's cool.
Yeah. So would you like to call them Big and Little?
Big and Little.
Big and Little. Gary and Will. Now, I thought that Amazing Race, I said, oh, here we go again. Back to Sharla.
A little person.
We are going to revisit a little person on the Amazing Race. And it turns out, not a little person, just a short.
This guy's really big.
Yeah.
Yes.
A shorter person
who's my height.
Best friends with somebody who is very, very tall.
Yes.
It's the Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan of Amazing Race.
Yes.
But my best friend from college was similarly, she was about 4'10" and I'm almost 6 feet. So we always thought we'd make a pretty great Amazing Race team as well.
Big and little.
But I couldn't get her to go along with it.
Yeah. So we love Gary and Will. They're going to be fun to watch. There's always one team that's the big fan favorite. It looks like they're going to be them. Some other standouts for this season. We have, of course, the Chippendales, who survived a close call this week.
Yes.
James and James. I will let the women on this show give us... What is the thoughts on the Chippendales?
I'm not a fan of Chippendales.
Yes.
I have gone to one Chippendales kind of show, and I was horrified. I was horrified the entire time.
Yeah, they're kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just, explain the Chippendales show to everybody. Now, Chippendales... Correct me if I'm wrong. They do not get full on naked.
They don't.
They do not. Correct?
I've never been to one. Nicole, you got to field this.
They don't get naked. They just stick their parts in your face that you really don't want to have your face in.
Yeah. And so they're going to get down to like a thong, a man thong.
It's like a banana hammock where they stick their wiener in and then they shake it around.
They shake it around.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's horrifying.
It's really horrifying.
All right, Jennifer Berg wants to know, what do you think about the Chippendales? Were you surprised that they weren't smart? Was this a surprise to anybody that James and James, the Chippendales, were not smart?
And the first James doesn't even know how to spell his own name.
Yes.
Apparently he was born with J-A-M-E-S and he added the Y himself later on.
Oh.
Is what I've been hearing.
Why? James and James, and not the first time that they have a bunch of fallopian tubes in their face, right?
Mm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Well, not their face, per se, but...
Yeah, so James and James, they were looking good, and now I'm not talking aesthetically. They were looking good at one point, but they just could not... Was the problem that they did not know what an abacus was?
That was a problem for a bunch of
people. For a lot of them.
And I didn't think... I mean, I've seen people on The Amazing Race screw up on a lot of bizarre objects that you'd think everybody would know. So it didn't surprise me, but yeah, I think it was their failure to recognize the abacus. And they got turned around at one point, and they saw everybody heading towards the pit stop, and they weren't done. They had to find one more clue.
Yeah.
That was them.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about there was a lot of Amazing Racers asking each other, hey, did you see the abacus?
A lot of help.
Where's the abacus? Hibiscus. Did you see what the abacus was? And so a lot of people were like, either they told them or they said they pulled the, like, Natalie and Nadia did. And we'll talk about them in a second. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But it may have been a costly mistake, $1 million mistake for Amy and Daniel. And Amy is the double amputee. Amy and Daniel were asked by the dating divorcees, and Amazing Race loves its dating divorcees.
They do love the divorcees.
Abby and Ryan asked, hey, where's the abacus?
And they told them.
They told them, and then Abby and Ryan got the clue and then ran ahead of them. Now, Jessica, let me ask you, as our Amazing Race expert, where is this in Amazing Race etiquette? If a team helps you... Are you allowed to run past them, and is that all
especially if they're handicapped?
Yes, especially if they're a double amputee.
Yes.
Where does this rank here for you? Was this kosher in the Amazing Race? It's all a race?
I don't know if it's an etiquette question as much as a stupidity question. It's really dumb to help people out that early in the race, especially if you know that you're going to come in first. I think that was a fatal mistake for Amy and Daniel. And it was kind of a dick move to run past them.
Yeah, that was.
How
I think
about
it would
this?
Be less of a dick move if she had both feet. But it doesn't seem to be slowing her down. So.
Yeah.
Well, she's not holding any baggage. Her partner is holding both bags, the poor guy.
Yeah.
It has one on the front and then one
they
on
do
the
that
back.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how about this? What if they said, okay, we know where it is, but you need to walk this way with us far enough that we know you're not going to pass us in the race.
Ooh, and then negotiations.
And everybody else is going to run past them. Like, yeah. You can't waste time figuring out the particulars. It's kind of an in-the-moment thing.
So what is the right thing to do?
It is a race, ultimately.
But don't you piss people off
the
if
right
you...
The right thing to do, but ultimately it's a race.
But Jessica, don't you piss people off though if you tell them at the time, I either know and I'm not telling you, or then you have to lie and say I don't know where it is. Isn't that going to come back to bite you also?
It can, but a worse thing that can come back to bite you is you make an alliance with someone, you help them out once, and then further on down the road when it matters more, they're going to expect you to help them again, and then drama happens.
Yeah.
I think personally it's better to never help anybody ever.
Well, maybe should that just be your policy in the beginning of the game? Because you want people to help you.
Yeah,
I guess.
But then when you need help, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, because Art and
JJ. In the beginning, you definitely shouldn't.
Yeah, but. Art and JJ last season, they made the alliance with Dave and Rachel. They were going to help each other out. And then we had the whole yield gate where they. Dave and Rachel didn't yield Brendan and Rachel, and then they got into the whole big fight, and then it was over for their alliance.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what ends up happening, is you make an alliance, and then it's worse than in Survivor, where everybody's going to screw everybody over at one point. There's a little bit more room to maneuver when you make an alliance on The Amazing Race.
So George Crummer has a question. He wants to know, could Amy and Daniel have blackmailed Abby and Ryan? We'll tell you if you give us $1 million, if you win $2 million.
I believe there's no sharing.
Could you give...
Yeah,
could,
it's the same. Yes.
Yeah, that's good. I'm like, we'll just take our $1 million. We'll give you the other million if you help us win. That would be good. That'd be good.
So it's against the rules.
It's against the rules, though. All right, so we have some other teams that were interesting. Natalie and Nadia, who...
Very interesting in the least.
Yeah, Nicole and I are split on. I think they get on Nicole's nerves. I like them.
I like them. They're just really terrible people.
They're really horrible to each other. So far, they're the team that's the worst, treats each other the worst so far this season.
Uh-huh.
We had, during the ping pong challenge... I'm not sure who was actually playing Natalie or Nadia.
But she was sweating profusely during ping pong.
Well, it was very hot in China. But the other one who wasn't playing was just like so horrible. Like, what are you doing? Come on!
I should have done this! You're stupid!
Slam it!
Well, that's the greatest thing about going on the race with one of your siblings is you can talk to him that way. Like, that's about the only relationship where you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And I give him a pass on those grounds. And I think they're adorable.
Yeah, they're good.
Really,
and I think they're
married
actually,
too.
They would be my pick to win at this point.
Really? Natalie and Nadia, you picked to win?
That is my controversial pick to win.
Yeah, definitely controversial.
We've had
a strong showing from female teams lately, and they're very strong. They're athletic. They're smart. Their one flaw is that they're going to have similar weaknesses and strengths.
Okay, Jeff Bamberger says, OMG, the twins are so freaking annoying. Can we please have a roadblock where the teams have to act normal in front of someone like Evil Dick without getting slapped for their stupidity or just plain annoying ways? I guess Jeffrey Bamberger, not a fan of the twins. I don't know what it has to do with Evil Dick, but sure. We'll go with that. But I loved the ping pong challenge.
That was a great challenge.
I thought that was a lot of fun. I mean, I think that it was a... you know, did not speak well for the chances of Rob and Sheila. And I feel like a few of the teams did not know that they were actually playing against a girl.
Yes.
A lot of...
Natalie and whatever... What's her other name?
Who's Natalie and
Nadia. Nadia.
Yes.
I kept referring to her as a him.
Yes. There was a lot of confusion as to whether they were playing against a girl or a boy.
Yes.
And nobody corrected
them. That's the bowl cut. That works for nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had, you know, I love the ping pong challenge. I love the animated GIF in the bottom of the screen. That would be like whoever scored the point.
That was so terrible.
That was great.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah. That was really great. Was it insulting that they had to play ping pong against a kid who had to use a clipboard and a frying pan and a paper plate?
And the
tambourine?
And the clue itself they used.
Yeah,
the
clue itself.
That was the last resort. I think the team just really sucked and they're like, all right, I'll try this.
I mean, she's just reaching for random objects at that point.
Yeah. It seemed like, but you know, go ahead.
I thought it was one of the better challenges that I've seen, especially early in the game. It's kind of a warm-up.
Yeah, it was.
And it was a lot of fun. Yes. They played ping pong against Chinese children in the past. It's not the first time that's happened. It is the first time that they've played ping pong with children and objects. So
first
I think it's
pan.
A neat twist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Another team that was interesting was James and Mark. Or I thought one of them was named Abba. I guess that on the Sega's website.
His name is Abatista, I think, is where that comes from.
Yeah. So James and Mark, one of them was in the band White Lion. Nicole, were you a fan of White Lion?
I was not.
No? That wasn't it. I cannot
say that I was.
Yeah. And he was also
were you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I downloaded all of the White Lion MP3s.
I know. I hear you singing in the shower.
Yes. Yes, we love White Lion. We're huge White Lion fans. And he was also in, I guess, what, Megadeth?
Yes, after White Lion.
Post White Lion.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Do we know if he was like a real band member or if he's like one of those guys they get on tour after the original members quit?
It's probably the second
I don't
one.
Know enough about Megadeth, but...
Yeah.
I think if he was in Megadeth, I think that would have came first prior before White Lion.
Yeah, that's entirely...
He would have announced that first.
That's entirely possible. And then we also had another team that was had an eventful first episode, Rob and Kelly. Who,
yes.
Rob and Kelly,
oh, the
they
monster
are
truckers.
Monster truckers, and they are not good at reading the clues, which that's really rule number one on The Amazing Race is always read the clue.
Know how to read.
That's number one, because it comes back to bite you more often than you'd think. Because they did not realize you were not allowed to pick up the apricot or mango?
Papaya.
You were not allowed to pick up the papaya with your hands. You could only eat the fallopian tubes with the chopsticks or sticking your face in the bowl like a dog. You would not have done that?
I would not have done that.
Yes.
Greatest thing about Amazing Race food challenges is they usually involve a quantity of food.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to eat one small gross thing. You have to eat 2 pounds of a, like, 75% gross thing.
Did they know what it was?
That to me was way tougher.
Yes. Well, the clue said, who wants to go tubing?
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun, but these clues are often misleading, and this was the case with the fallopian tubes of frogs. Now, how many frogs... did they have to, slaughter here to get a papaya full of fallopian tubes? Like, how long could a frog fallopian tube be?
It's not very
long.
Was
it a giant frog? Are they very long? Are they, like, small intestines? And are they just, like, pulling them out?
Yeah. I think they were dehydrated and reconstituted. Like, they're about an inch long. Are they reconstituted?
Oh, that's...
what I heard.
In the words of former Amazing Race contestant Big Jeff... that's perverted. Frog fallopian tubes. That's gross. Okay. So, yeah, that wasn't good. But poor Robin Kelly.
But it's a dessert.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case...
It's still disgusting.
Rob has a bastard, says, could the twins get away with one of them doing all the challenges and no one knowing any different?
I think so.
I don't think they look that alike. Well, I guess they do their hair different.
I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
Well, we don't...
I bet the production team marked them to make sure this doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's right. You better put a bracelet on them.
Yeah.
Or put a nail polish.
Branded them.
Yeah, put nail polish on one of them. That's a good trick. So, with Rob and Kelly, don't you think it's cruel of The Amazing Race that at the point he puts his hands on the papaya that they don't come out and say, all right, you gotta start over. They let him finish... the entire thing of the first serving, And then after it's over, they're like, where's the clue? Where's the clue? And then they just bring out another one. I thought that was very cruel and unusual for the Amazing Race.
That's the race. That's the nature of the beast. That's why you read the clue.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for them at all.
Really terrible. Well, at least they didn't let them go all the way, like we've seen before, let them go all the way to Phil and then come back and say, by the way, did you happen to use your hands on that papaya? You're going to have to go all the way back.
That's true. That could have happened.
Yeah, or they could have hit them with the time penalty also. So interesting, you know, so I feel like they are a little, they change up how they do it sometimes.
They do, but typically you have to complete the task to get the clue. And, and getting the clue signifies that you've done it to their satisfaction.
Okay, fair enough. So we had some other standouts from the first episode in a negative way for Rob and Sheila. What did you make of the short-lived Rob and Sheila stint on the race?
Well, I didn't like or dislike anybody except them. I kind of massively disliked right out of the gate. So
yeah.
I was kind of happy to see them go.
Wasn't.
And I try not to, you know, editorialize on their personalities because we see a very edited, very small cross section of what they're really like. But he struck me as a little bit overbearing.
Yeah.
And that was going to get them out early.
Yeah.
He's kind of this like cheesy evangelical minister dad type, and he talked over her and corrected her, didn't listen to her when she had the right answer at one point. So, you know,
yeah,
bye, guys.
Their whole attitude was sort of like, Sheila is so stupid that Rob has to make all the decisions around here. Like, he's going to, I was planning our wedding, but Rob said I was doing it all wrong. So, he's going to tell me what I'm going to wear and what to show up.
And he's a lumberjack, and you have to kind of listen to the guy with the axe, and that's kind of that's problematic as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You always have to listen to the guy with the axe. And then there were a few real under-the-radar teams that were pretty invisible in the first night. There was Josh and Brent, the goat farmers, who they didn't have
the
much...
reality show veterans.
Oh, now what reality
they
show
have
they been on?
It's some very small punk-ass channel. It's like... I think it's the cooking channel right now. They have a show about their goat farm.
Yeah.
And apparently they yell at each other a lot, and it's going to be very fun down the road.
Okay, Nicole... would you like to farm goats?
I would not. No.
No?
I would not.
You would like that organic goat milk?
I'm all for organic stuff, yes, but I don't know. I don't want to do the milking.
Trey and Lexi, they also didn't have too much to do. They're cute, but they seem a little slow, a step slow. Trey and Lexi.
The same couple on every season. And
yeah.
Those guys are that couple.
They're so that couple.
They haven't impressed.
Abby and Ryan, other than sneaking ahead at the very end, they were pretty under the radar throughout the show.
He's the other reality show veteran. I found this out. I did a bunch of internet research last night. He was on the Martha Stewart season of The Apprentice.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. With Bethany Frankel.
I did not watch it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
That is very interesting. Ryan, I also thought, did you find this odd? I thought it was a little uncomfortable, amount of praise he was giving to Amy at the end of the show. He's like, oh my God, Amy, she's the best competitor in this whole thing. She's the best.
She's the one to beat.
And then there was a very awkward, it seemed like he was kissing her.
He may have licked her ear.
At the pit stop. Did you see this, Jessica?
I missed this. I thought it was like one of those air cheek kisses that East Coasters do, but.
No.
I did not notice his tongue.
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah,
but
I think I saw he was
a little too attached to her. I agree. That was kind of strange. But
dating divorcees.
He just felt bad that they sprinted ahead of them, which is understandable because, again, they moved.
Yes, and maybe his reality show veteranness is telling him, boy, I need to suck some kneecaps of the audience here after running ahead of an amputee to win this leg of the race.
Some titanium kneecaps.
Aaron says, Ryan is saying on Twitter that he told Amy that if Ryan Abbey won, they donate half of the winnings to her charity.
Well, interesting.
You know, sounds like two people who didn't win.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that a very noble gesture.
Very noble.
We'll see if they follow through with that. So then there was Caitlin and Brittany, who they were pretty invisible also throughout the first episode.
Nothing exciting.
Seemed a little spunky.
And there's no way I'm ever going to tell them apart.
Yeah, so it seemed a little spunky in their intro.
I didn't know we had two sets of identical twins.
Yeah, no, but in terms of, they are not identical twins, right? They're just friends. No,
they're not even related, I don't think.
Okay,
they look really alike.
Yeah, I think that is all the teams, and we're down to 10. Do you have a pick to win this, Jessica?
My pick right now. And it's kind of a qualified pick because I don't like to pick the dating couples right out the gate because dating couples are boring. But my pick to win it right now is the twins.
Okay. Yeah.
But
so
that might change.
Natalie.
It'll certainly change if they get eliminated next.
Natalie and Nadia. Andre says, am I the only one that is always afraid that Phil will get run over when he says go?
Well, safety first.
He could be stampeded at some point. Did you like the innovation of having Phil in the DVD console in the cars giving instructions as they're...
I hate the product placement. I get why they do it, but it's so dumb.
How does that work? Could you record it? If you had that car, could you record a video for when people turn on the ignition? Like, hey, welcome to the car.
Or, you're stealing my car.
Yeah.
Put down the keys.
This is not your car.
A little Knight Rider.
Yeah. And do you have a pencil? I mean, I feel like if you're in the car and Phil's like, teams will now head to the airport and be on one of two flights, either flight 863 to China, departing at 10:43, or flight 619. Phil, hold on. Is there a pause on this thing? Pause.
Play it as many times as they want.
Oh, okay, good. But probably not while they're driving.
Not while they're driving.
That's safety first. That's not safe.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Nicole.
Yes.
Everybody is anxiously on pins and needles. Who is your pick for the Amazing Race winner?
Oh, you know, I didn't think of this beforehand, but I don't know. I'm liking the amputee girl.
The amputee. So do you think that if Amy and Daniel win this season, that's going to be a very sore subject that these other people cut in front of them and cost them $1 million?
Yes.
Very interesting.
Nice. There's no way.
And I will go with, I'm going to say, I'm torn really between, Big and Little and the Rockers. And I think I'm going to go with, with the Rockers. The Rockers.
Okay, I think the Rockers have a better chance than
Big and Little. I feel that they've got a, Mark and Bopper, you know, fourth, fifth place, There's one leg of the race where they come in last, like, oh, but you are the last team to arrive, but it's not elimination. Don't be surprised if that happens one time.
Yeah, they've been cherry-picked for that.
Yeah, I'm calling it right now. I've never been so sure of anything in my reality TV life as Gary and Will will come in last place in one leg of the race, and it will be a non-elimination leg.
Mark it down.
That's right. All right. Well, Jessica, we got to jump into talking some Survivor, but thank you for all your thoughts
on... Okay, and I got to run back to work, so...
Yeah, thanks for all your thoughts on
fired.
The Amazing Race. We look forward to your blog for the next show.
And I'll try to get on here as much as I can. It's a little bit dicey. I was testing it today to see if it works with the Wi-Fi. It's a little bit dicey.
Okay.
So I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, we'll check in from time to time over the course of the season. Thank you, Jessica. And
sounds perfect.
Yeah, if people want to follow you on Twitter, you have a Twitter handle?
Oh, yeah, I have a Twitter name. My Twitter handle is Haymaker Hattie. And I'm not on it much, but I'm going to live tweet the shows this season.
Okay, so how do you spell Hattie?
In the chat room so people can follow me.
Yeah, Hattie.
H-A-T-T-I-E. I'll just type it here in the chat room.
Okay, there you go. All right.
It'll be so, really cheesy. Follow me on Twitter.
Thank you very much, Jessica.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, get back to work. Don't get fired. Bye.
Bye, Jessica.
All right, so that was Jessica Leese, and she is going to be covering, helping us cover the Amazing Race this season. So we'll check in with Jessica from time to time. We'll try to have some Amazing Race guests. And we'll do that in the first half
year. Sounds like a party.
In the first half year of Amazing Race. So I've been being told that Scott Porter is actually not available to chat with us today. He's he said something came up. He can't make it on the show. So
okay.
We're not going to be able to talk with Scott Porter about the Rob is a Podcast Fantasy Football League and what he's up to. And he's actually a big reality TV fan.
Is he? Does he know who you are?
Well, he's in my fantasy football league, Nicole.
Well, did he know who you were?
Probably. Probably. Maybe he was under the impression that it was Boston Rob.
Probably.
Perhaps. But you never know. So we'll check in with Scott Porter maybe next week. So let's get into talking about some of the Survivor. Gear shift, Nicole. Shifting gears. And we'll talk about some Survivor. And we have our Survivor correspondent here. And I see Aaron Robertson is ready to go. He's covering the Matt Singh tribe for us this season and everything going on with Russell Swan. And we talked to him last week of could Russell Swan pull the nose up from the plane as it was in the swan dive going down into the water. And he could not pull up. He was still crashing and burning last week. Down to just four people in the tribe. And make no mistake, Nicole, make no mistake whatsoever, if the Matt Singh tribe goes to tribal council tomorrow night, we will be talking with Russell Swan on Thursday morning.
And that's very unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate, yes. Because you don't see the returning players typically go out this early, unless they have been on two of the past three seasons and, you know, everybody's a little sick of them.
And they like an all-girl alliance.
And they tell people that they have the immunity idol. But you normally, I guess, unless your name is Russell.
You can't be Russell and come back.
It sucks to be named Russell. That's what Jessica Frey said in the chat room. This would be a bad time to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering that all you have to do to win, not go to tribal council, is not come in last. In three teams.
Just don't suck.
You just have to be the team that doesn't suck. You don't even have to be the best team.
You don't have to be the team that wins.
Just be the team that doesn't suck. And that's really, you know, I try to go through life that way. Somehow I've ended up as the Rob that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
In fairness, I think if you were going to rank the Robs, I don't think that I would be the Rob that sucks. If you were going to, I could simply
think of a few others that suck.
I think that if you were going to just lay them out for these teams, you just have to be the one that doesn't suck the most. You could still suck, as in the case of myself.
Yes.
But you don't want to be the team that sucks the most.
Okay, we get it.
Okay? So, for poor Russell Swan, he's going to be in a lot of trouble now this week because he is clearly at a 3-1 disadvantage. And there's the problem with these six team tribes, and what I don't like about them is that very early, it's fine the first time you go to tribal council, but now with you have five people in your tribe, you lose one person and you're really compromised as far as everything really hinges on the first vote.
Yeah.
And you have to get a four-person majority also on the first vote. And then once that happens, everything is just predetermined. Like there's no other way around it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in a five person group, and you have two people together like Malcolm has, and he has a third person, you know, it's game over, and you wouldn't have that in a tribe of eight.
Right.
Okay. And yeah, let's bring in Aaron, if he's ready to go, and to talk about what is going on in the Matt Singh tribe. And, Aaron, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Yeah, we're very excited to talk to you, Aaron. You seem like you're in an extra good mood today.
Yeah, I am.
I feel like he's the guy that's always happy.
Well,
that's really me.
Aaron, you should not be happy since you're covering Russell Swan and his tribe, and he's going to be on short notice. That there's a very good chance he's the next person to go home.
There is a very, very good chance that he will be the next person to go home. I feel like Matt Singh is on a sinking ship right now. Hopefully, they kind of end up like Saboga with some of their members, you know, making it pretty far into the game where we had Jenna and Rupert, you know, once they were absorbed into the other tribe, got into a good alliance and made it all the way to the final four. So I think that might be the case here as well.
Well, what happened with Saboga is with that tribe that they were such a disaster. You know, we went to the challenge on day 9, mm-hmm. and that was when Jenna Maraska wanted to go home to go and be with her mom, which was, you know, a great mm-hmm. premonition because her mom ended up passing away within like 2 weeks of her doing that. She ended up leaving the game, so there was no tribal council that day. And so Saboga actually got saved, and then finally they got their act together, and then some innocent person who was minding their own business ended up getting voted out of the game.
Poor sucker.
Yeah. So it took like a long break from competing in challenges for Saboga to get their act together. But there will be no such break for the Matt Singh tribe, barring a medevac emergency, and with Mike Scoopin in the game, that could just be right around the corner. That could be the moment of break they're waiting for. So, is there any coming back for Russell Swan? Is there any way that he could turn this around other than winning the immunity?
I mean, I feel like history is repeating itself for Russell, you know, and it's not good history, you know. I think these last 3 days are similar to when Yasmin was voted out, because, you know, he didn't want to vote out Yasmin either because they had a connection, but the tribe did because she was grating on the tribe, and, you know, it's not looking good for him because now he has really no one except Denise, who probably is not even that close to him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, I forgot about that in Survivor Samoa. So, who was really calling the shots back there in Survivor Samoa? It felt like, just like in my memory, Russell Swan was the leader of that group, and maybe he was in the challenges. But, I mean, who was really strategically calling the shots in that tribe? Do you remember?
I think it was Laura, Brett, possibly. Oh, and Kelly.
Okay,
I think.
Interesting.
And Monica and John were in there as well.
So Denise could be the new Laura. Mm. Interesting. And maybe Malcolm is the new Eric.
Eric. Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah. And we don't know. We'll never have a new John Fincher.
No, never.
We never will. Aaron, what did you discover in the secret scenes this week for Matt Singh?
I think Roxy was kind of doomed from the start, but I think she also did it to herself because from what it looks like at the camp, she was very obsessed with doing laundry. And so she would just sit around the campfire, you know, doing laundry and not working. And she would complain that, you know, everybody seemed to be doing a one-person job. Like, three people would get together to try to do a one-person job. Like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to help. Ooh, yeah, I'm a helper. And so she was very annoyed that people were over trying to help by having more than one person doing what she thought was a one-person job. And she just wanted to conserve her energy for challenges.
Seems like a major complainer.
Yeah, I thought she was off base with complaining about we do too much work in the camp. I thought that's an invalid argument on Survivor. Yeah,
people don't want to hear that.
As somebody who knows, you know what it's like out there, I always put a lot of importance on the camp life. While you know you don't have to go crazy if you do not have a shelter. I mean, this is how you win challenges. You have a shelter. You stay dry in the rain. You stay warm when it's cold.
You
have a fire to be able to boil water and eat. I mean, everything is sort of based out of this fundamentals of have a strong camp life. And if you just are going to just not do anything in the camp and just get rained on, you're not going to win any challenges because the other teams are going to be stronger than you.
Right.
So I thought that was invalid on her part. And I also thought that, she seemed very nice. She was funny. I talked to her on Thursday. But, I did not sense that she had a great understanding of the game, and you know, seemed like a nice person, but I don't think she was cut out for Survivor.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll see what's going to happen. Is who do you think is in the best position out of the other members of the Matt Singh tribe? Who's best position for a long haul? Is it Malcolm or is it Denise?
Denise. I'm going to say Denise because I think once Malcolm is on, if he ends up in another tribe, I think a lot of people are going to catch on to Malcolm a lot quicker than they are Denise. Plus, he's a young, fit guy. You know, he looks like a threat already. And I think a lot of people on the other tribes are more intelligent and can easily spot, you know, the things he's doing. And I think they'll go after him before they go after Denise.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Denise, your pick to win.
Denise is looking good. I have a pick that's looking good, Nicole. Yeah. Yeah, that's looking good. All right. Well, Aaron, thank you very much for all of your information this morning. And we'll keep our fingers crossed for Russell for you tomorrow night and for the entire Matt Singh tribe.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Aaron.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Bye.
All right. There's Aaron Robertson.
Oh, I love him. He's so cute.
Yeah, he's great. He is the musical composer of the theme from the Friggin' Five.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Such a contributor to RHAP.
Such a contributor. And Tyler is ready to go. You ready to talk about the Mike Scoopin tribe?
Oh, I am.
Yes. Tyler, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Rob. You know, Tandane won another challenge, and, you know, the reason Tandane is looking so unbeatable right now is because, well, we got some cookies over here, so that's why we're winning.
Oh, you have cookies. Oh, you're not even on Matt Singh. Well, that's great. That's Matt Singh could
that's
use...
That's why you need cookies.
They could use cookies. All right, here we go. Tyler, he's fired up and ready to go. So, Tyler, I know you wanted to talk about... there was a lot that was posted online about... what the mood was at Tandang after the challenge and who felt like they were the most responsible for the win in the immunity challenge.
Well, Pop, going into the challenge, they hadn't, you know, slept very well in the last days. They were really, I think, down physically as a tribe. I think Artis said they were about 60% everybody going into that challenge. Still pulled off the win. Now, there's different versions of who is responsible for the win, according to what I've researched. Pete, my man Pete, is not getting right now. He's very confident in himself. Pete's saying that, you know, I am the reason on the challenge. I ran two of the sled. I did the puzzle. I'm not going to tell everybody it's me, but Pete's the one that's winning the challenges, according to Pete.
Yeah, I watched
now,
that.
Now, RC, on the other hand.
Let's just talk about Pete for a second. I watched that secret scene. I thought that was really ridiculous that Pete, like, really, it was, like, non-ironically at all, Pete is talking about...
Douche alert.
Pete is just talking about, like, yeah, well, you know, we won this 100% because of me. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm the best. I'm awesome. I'm the leader of this... Like, well, he didn't say I'm the leader of this tribe, but I'm responsible for everything. I put the puzzle together. I did everything. I mean,
wow, Pete, you're Superman.
Very high on himself, yeah. Pete, so far. And so I don't know. I don't know about Pete's long-term prospects. Do you sense that he's in a better position in the game than I do?
I think for the moment, I think one, Pete is with the right tribe because they seem to be tribe, and I think at the moment he's in a fine position because he's a, you know, physical competitor, so they need to keep him for in with people.
Yeah.
What sort of alliance within the alliance he's into, that'll kind of determine it.
Yeah. And as far as Abby Maria goes, I know that she had a lot to say on the secret scenes as well about her role in what's going on with the success of the Tandang tribe.
Yeah, and real quickly before we get to Abby Maria, I wanted to finish my point about the difference in the challenge, who thought they should win and whatnot. RC, apparently through social media, she drops a lot of hints about what is really going on kind of in the back of the tribe, and she says that before she even came on the show, a few months before, her brother gave her a bunch of puzzles to work on. And one of those was the exact same puzzle that they did in the challenge. So she had seen that before. Said Pete was so tired he couldn't think during the puzzle. Decided to take over, didn't really listen to Lisa calling because she said it didn't really matter what she was saying, that she had it all covered. So RC is the one apparently that solved the puzzle and won the challenge in the end. And, she says Pete was not really helping her much in the puzzle.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting.
I see Rob's taboo buzzer in the chat room saying, like RC on Facebook. She tells behind-the-scenes anecdotes. So if you want to get the inside scoop, check out RC's Facebook. So now, what about Abby Maria? We saw the big fight between her and RC this week. Do you sense that that has been sort of squelched, or you think that's something that could continue to sort of smolder as we go along here?
I think possibly could continue to kind of drag along with the tribe. First of all, I don't know what she's thinking. If you see the Muni Idol and you have a problem maybe with them trying to take a member of your tribe, keep it to yourself. This is a game about information, withholding that information, and to just blurt it out and go after RC like that, I think, you know, that's going to put some in RC's mind that Abby's going to be able to work. And, you know, looking at the previews from next time, you know, that is an interesting scene where Pete goes up to Lisa and tells her, you know, hey, we need to. It's going to be very personally is that maybe Abby Marie, she doesn't have RC. She's probably going to turn to Pete. So Pete might agree with Abby Maria and try and go and try and drag Lisa into their alliance to try and go against RC and Scoop. And it'll be interesting to watch.
It will be. Joshua says, how is the pick of artists working out? Was it actually a pick for the least amount of words spoken? Oh, that's a shot at Nicole.
Well, you know what? He's still there. So.
Yeah. But
it's working out just fine.
Yeah. And
he's
artists.
Not Carter.
Yeah. Yes. He's better than Carter. And artists showed up in the secret scenes as well this week.
Yeah. Artists, I think, is in actually a better position than people think in the game because I think the five. Originally, even before Abby Maria went off and did her thing, we're really tight. And I think if Abby Maria tries to pull herself away and do something, you know, completely random and kind of show her craziness to the rest of the tribe, Artis is just going to keep filling in the pieces. And I think him and Mike work well together, you know, as the older members of the tribe. And they're both physically enough to where they're not going to be hindrance in the challenges. Artis, I think, is in, like Scoop, in a very good position within the tribe, and then they can also, I think, mesh well with the other members of other tribes when they do merge.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyler, thank you for the updates. One last question before we let you go. If the Tandang tribe goes to tribal council tomorrow night, will it be Lisa that is the one that goes home?
At the moment, I would still say Lisa, but depending on if Maria and Pete maybe try to pull Lisa over and really try and press it, I think Lisa might join the other three, and I think Abby Maria might be in trouble.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll see.
See that.
We'll be watching. Tyler, mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Oh,
Tyler.
Yeah, Jessica had the quick hook on
I think Jessica needs to go to class.
On Tyler. Jessica needs to go to class. Jessica, how are we doing on time? We have time. Okay, so I think Scott Porter is actually here. So we're gonna. Okay, we'll tell you. Here's the quick update on Jonathan Penner. He has the idol, and his tribe wants to blindside him. Jeff Kent wants to get rid of him. That's basically the update on Penner. So let's bring in Scott Porter real quick if we can, and then we do have to start to wrap it up. That we're very thankful Scott was able to join us here. Scott Porter, here he is, star of film and television. How are you? Welcome back to Robinson Podcast.
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. And Nicole, meet Scott Porter.
Hey, Scott.
Making his second appearance on Robinson Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing actually really well. Heart of Dixie premieres tonight, so just kind of getting ready for the premiere of the second season, and kind of I got the day off actually, so it's nice for me.
Okay, very. And where can we check out Heart of Dixie?
It's on the CW, and it's on tonight's at 8, 7 Central. So it's
okay.
Hopefully, I don't think we're up against any reality
television. yeah, sure. maybe like what, X Factor? Is that on Tuesday?
Or no, that's on it's on every day.
We don't know. So, Scott, are you checking out Survivor at all this season?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm a big Survivor fan. Yes. Amazing Race. We watch both of those. My fiance and I watch both of them. So,
well, Scott, let me ask you real quick. As a former athlete on television, are you pulling for Jeff Kent? And did you feel for Jeff Kent in his injury, much like Jason Street got an injury in the first episode of his season?
I don't know if I buy the injury yet. He's like immediately trying to self-diagnose. Oh, I think I tore my MCL, mm-hmm. You know, jumping off. Everybody else jumped off the boat. Everyone else seems to be okay. I mean, he's walking around just fine. I don't know. I've watched Survivor since the first season. I'm rooting for Scoopin because I loved him back in Australia, and I would like to see him get some redemption here. And I oddly really like Penner, too. I think I like the two of them over any of the new contestants, actually, at this point.
All right. Well, now, Scott, we know that you're a Survivor fan. Now we see this Lisa Welchel, another Survivor fan who is in your same line of work. She goes out on, to go on Survivor. Have you thought about possibly
sending in a video?
Yeah. Why not Scott Porter on Survivor?
I would love to go on Survivor, actually. I actually tried out for it before. I was working at like Disney World singing and beatboxing way back in the day when it first came out. And I sent in an audition tape. And, I tried that, and I tried Amazing Race, me and my buddy Matt, but to no avail.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us know. We will, if you want to make a serious run at this, we will endorse you. We will push for you to come on. We almost got Jeff Probst to be on this podcast. That's how much
he did agree to come on the podcast.
We got Jeff Probst to agree to come on this podcast. So we will endorse this via our social media.
We'll send out our army for you.
We will flex the social media muscle of Rob as a podcast. If this is what you wish,
I would love to do it. I just have to wait until I'm unemployed. Because
okay, you got it.
I wouldn't want to like give a serious push and then blow it because I got to stay here for work. You know, that would be
okay. Well, if you want to host SNL, that also works. If you want to, we can really make a push also. All right, so Scott, tell us about what your prospects are here in the Rob is a Podcast 20 team league. You can check out what everybody's up to at robisawebsite.com/fantasy.
I started out a little rough, man. Fred Jackson got hurt. He was my lead dog week one. I had a couple of injuries actually befall the team. Peyton Hillis is gone too. So I had to I made one move. By the way, there's some guys in the league that trade nonstop. Like This happens.
Lucas Hayes.
I made one trade. I unloaded Percy Harvin. I picked up Alfred Morris. I believe in that guy the rest of the year.
Yes,
and now I'm 2-2. So I pulled 500, and I'm still holding on to Tom Brady, even though I can't stand the guy. I never wanted him in the first place. He was auto drafted for me, but might end up being my saving grace after last week's performance. If he can, keep it up, then I'm feeling pretty good. I don't hate my team, but I'm not in love with it.
Yeah. I am 2-2 as well, Nicole. And my controversial pick of Matt Ryan in the first round with the 18th pick overall has been looking good.
Ooh, and I got to say, if I would have been here for that pick, I would have lauded you. I'm in 11 fantasy football leagues this year, and I have Matt Ryan in 7 leagues.
So wow.
Matt Ryan in 7. I've got Brady in 1. I've got RG3 in 2. And I got stuck with Ben Roethlisberger in 1. But yeah.
And so I'm judging by your t-shirt, I'm judging the book by its cover, the Broncos are your real team?
Yes,
feeling,
they are.
Feeling
I'm
good
from
after
Nebraska it. Originally. I'm a Nebraska kid, and we don't have any pro teams in Nebraska, so I'm a Broncos fan, and I do feel about the Broncos season so far. Our only two losses are the two 4-0 teams that I think are real Super Bowl contenders. I think the Broncos got a really good shot this year, actually.
Yeah, Peyton Manning looked good. Quieted some of the doubters this week after they were starting to say, oh, Peyton Manning, he can't throw anymore. Looking good after.
The first time he got hit, he did this. And oh, God, we bought a broken toy. Oh, what have we done?
Yeah.
He got up, he ran off the field. That was.
Yeah. And if you want to know about broken toys, we'll talk about my Jets sometime.
They're beyond
broken. Yeah, is it Scott, as a Broncos fan, is it Tebow time for the Jets? Do we need to go to Tebow? Because I believe that we do.
I think, I think that you do with a little bit more consistency. I think that, Sanchez was already a head case, and bringing, Tebow in for a drive, every six series was really throwing him off too. And you got to cut Sanchez some slack. I mean, who are their receivers right now? Chaz Schulins, who couldn't even make the cut at the Raiders, and Jeremy Curley, is shorter than me. No Dustin Keller. Santonio Holmes is now hurt. Their running game is non-existent. I just think there's a lot of problems there. But yeah, go to Tebow. Why not? Gave us a spark last year.
I'd say to Sanchez, if I was Rex Ryan, I'd say, okay, look, here, we're gonna sit Tebow down. We won't put Tebow in for one play the next 2 weeks. Okay, you win one game. If not, it's Tebow time. You're done. How about that? Ultimatums.
I'm really surprised with I watched a lot of the Jets game last week, and I was really surprised. I mean, no, 2 weeks ago when they were at home. And I was really surprised that there wasn't more calling for Tebow. I think everyone expected, the entire crowd to just be all over Sanchez. And it hasn't happened as of yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's only a matter of time. In Denver, we were calling for him after three plays. So I'm surprised that New York has had this much patience.
Well, it's more that Tebow hasn't made a really big play yet. I think once Tebow makes one big play, then we'll all cheer for him. Now it's sort of like, oh, Tebow, oh, this distraction.
Yeah.
All good stuff. All right, so we will check you out tonight, Scott. We got to run and wrap up this show. Scott, thank you very much for joining us. And on Twitter, you're at Scott Porter?
At Scott Porter. And I got one question.
Yes.
What team is power in the...
Neil before Zod? Is Shane Powers in the league?
I don't. Oh, that's right. Oh, we're tied up at 2-2. My terrible team.
After Shane Powers threw down the gauntlet to Scott Porter, said his team was not good.
Oh, that's fighting words.
They have the same. All right.
You got lucky that I had some injuries. I'm coming for you, Powers.
Oh, watch out.
As a fellow Omahan, I'm coming for you.
All right,
there we go.
All right, check it out. Take care, Scott. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right, thank you all for having me. Have a good day.
All right,
bye,
take
Scott.
Care. Bye. All right, and there you have it, Nicole. There's Scott Porter, who's in a rivalry with Shane Powers.
You never want to be in a rivalry with Shane Powers.
And Shane Powers is also debuting his own podcast this week.
With Jen Hoffman.
Yeah, so I will, once I have a link on that, I will share it with you guys.
Yeah, are they together? Are they not together? They're just co-hosts?
They're like the Ross and Rachel of reality
TV.
They
are. I need to know what's going on.
Yeah. Jessica Frey was on the ball this morning. She let us know that the podcast awards are ready to go. Jessica, I've opened up the door to Jessica Frey whenever she wants to come on and tell us something that we're screwing up or anything like that. I'm giving her the green light. She can bring herself in whenever she wants to jump, but she has to go to class, I think. So
yes.
Podcast awards are coming up. So if you want to nominate this very show, Rob Has a Podcast, nominate us for best.
Nominate us for everything.
Nominate us only for best entertainment podcast.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's all. That's all. If you think we deserve a podcast award, nominate us only for Best Entertainment Podcast, or...
So conservative.
You could also nominate Jessica Frey for Best Produced Podcast. Ooh. Yeah, there you go. But no, we'll focus on... But I think we need to focus all of our collective efforts at one thing,
okay,
which is Best Entertainment Podcast. And
we're going to win this year.
We'd very much appreciate it. The best podcast to never win a podcast award. And also, if all this football talk has got you all fired up for this weekend, you can play fantasy games daily, every day, at draftstreet.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/draftstreet. They play still for the baseball with all the football. They will match your deposit by 40%, and you can be playing daily fantasy games every day of the week at draftstreet, robhasawebsite.com/draftstreet, or click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. All right?
Sounds like a party.
Sounds like a party. We got to get to doing a bunch of stuff today. There's work to be done. Nicole has yoga to do. So that being said, thanks so much to our amazing race correspondent, Jessica Leese, and then also to our Survivor correspondents that we checked in with today. Thank you so much. And then, of course, Scott Porter, thank you, and Jessica Frey as well. And we'll be back with you for Survivor Know-It-Alls. Stephen Fishback and I will check in. It's our first blush recap of Survivor. That will be Wednesday night at 9:15 p.m. Hopefully, DVR the debate, because Stephen and I are going live, and that's going to be the only debate worth talking about. Sesternino versus Fishback, Wednesday night, debating what the hell just happened on Survivor.
And what they should have done.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye. Guys.